This morning's reading is going to be taken from John chapter 6, and it's on page 892 in the church Bible in front of you. Do try and find one and follow along. So it's John chapter 6 on page 892, and we're going to start reading from verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Craig. Well, there's plenty to get stuck into in this passage, and we're going to need the Lord's help to do so. So let's bow our heads in prayer as we begin. Father God, as we come to your word, we pray that you give us soft hearts, hearts that are willing to be changed and transformed by your Spirit. We pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would come upon us and work within our hearts, opening our eyes, revealing your truths to us through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Food, water, air, and shelter. According to NASA, if any one of these basic human needs is not met, then humans cannot survive. And I guess if you're thinking about putting people into space or landing them on another planet, they better know the basics, right? Food, water, air, and shelter. And this morning, as we return to our series of snapshots of a savior, there is a focus on our basic needs. There's even a focus on food. Now, before we get into it, what do you think is the most famous food-related event in the Bible? 5,000. I wonder how many of you immediately thought of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I think it's probably the most famous food-related event in the Bible, where 5,000 men, plus women and children, were fed with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And it is actually off the back of that miraculous event that Jesus teaches that he is the bread of life. So the snapshot we're looking at this morning is this. Hold on tight. Jesus, the bread of life, come down from heaven. The bread of life come down from heaven. Come down from heaven to raise to life, eternal life. To raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen. Who the Father has chosen to believe in him. Jesus, the bread of life, come down from heaven to raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen to believe in him. Now, that's quite a mouthful. And if you jotted down notes, you probably didn't get it all down just yet. So we're going to break it down into 3 ideas. And we're going to look at one of those ideas twice. So this is what we're going to look at this morning. And then we're going to, at the end, we'll look at what are we supposed to do with it. So, Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, come down from heaven. Jesus, come to raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen to believe in him. And Jesus, what will we do with him? So let's jump right in then. Jesus, the bread of life. Do grab a Bible and look up John chapter 6, and let's start at verse 35, which Craig has just read for us. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, first of all, who is Jesus talking to? Well, earlier on in the chapter, in verse 22, we see that it is, in fact, the crowd that he'd fed on the hillside. It's the 5,000, some from that crowd that Jesus is talking to. And this is confirmed again in verse 26 of the chapter, where Jesus shed some light on the motivation of many of those who were following him. Listen to what it says. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Some of the crowd are following Jesus because he can meet their basic human needs, their need for food. And here already we have an indication that some people are following Jesus for the wrong reasons. They have not understood either who Jesus is or what he has come to do. They see the miracle as something amazing, something that can serve their immediate needs, but they don't see that it's a sign pointing forward to something greater. In verse 33, Jesus then begins to point to the idea that he is the bread. But still thinking with their stomachs, the crowd says this. They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And with that, Jesus responds, "I am the bread of life." Now, if you know anything about John's gospel, you'll know that there's a series of seven I am statements, which Jesus makes, making declarations about himself. And in this statement, he says, "I am the bread of life." Now, if we go back to the opening idea of basic human needs, we can all recognize that food is one of those essential basic needs for our existence. And bread is very often considered that sort of most basic of foods and essential. So by Jesus calling himself bread, Jesus is saying that there is something essential about him. In the same way that we cannot live without food, we cannot live without him. But in what way is Jesus food? What sort of bread is he? Well, we're going to loop back to that a little later. Jesus, the bread of life. To those who are taking notes, I do apologize. You're going to have to either put an asterisk or leave a space because we don't normally loop around to points, but we're going to today. The first one is Jesus, the bread of life. But before we continue, we need to see, where does Jesus come from? Jesus come down from heaven. Look down with me at verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Jesus came down from heaven, and we see that he came down from heaven on a mission. He came with a purpose, and his purpose was to do the will of the Father. And we see at the start of verse 40, who sent him? "For this is the will of my Father." Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was sent down from God, from the Father, the first person of the Trinity, to do his will. Jesus came down from heaven to do the Father's will. Now, what sort of responses do we get when we say to people that Jesus came down from heaven? Maybe some people think we're crazy. You can't seriously believe that. Others might say to us, "You know, heaven and hell, that's not a real thing, right?" I wonder, in thinking about this, when was the last time that you said to someone, "Do you know that Jesus came down from heaven?" So I thought maybe I'll set you a challenge for this week, or set us a challenge for this week. I will do it as well. Will you find one person who you know doesn't believe in Jesus, and will you say to them, "Do you know that Jesus came down from heaven?" I can guarantee that if we all do that, it will spark some very interesting conversations. And I can also guarantee that some of us will get a negative response. But you know, that's nothing new. Jesus didn't exactly get the warmest response when he made that claim himself. Look down at verse 41 and 42. "So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven?'" You see, these Jews looked at Jesus and said, "We know where he is from. We know his parents. He's just an ordinary bloke. Just some teacher from the pages of history," is how some people might want to describe Jesus now. But that is not who Jesus is. You see, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it wasn't supposed to be just a matter of feeding people. It was meant to be a sign to the people. But the crowd were blind to it. And today, how many people reject the idea that Jesus came down from heaven? Do we see Jesus for who he is? The one come down from heaven. Jesus come down from heaven. But what did he come down to do? Well, Jesus came to raise to eternal life those who the Father had chosen to believe in him. You see, we've already seen that Jesus came on a mission from the Father. So let's pick that up, looking at verse 39. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus came down so he could raise up those who the Father had given him. Jesus came down to raise up those who believe in him. He came to raise them to eternal life. That was his mission. Now, we must take note of the two ways in which those who are being raised up are described. Firstly, they're described as those who believe. Verse 40 again. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And then verse 47 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. Those who believe in Jesus will be raised to eternal life. So if you're here this morning and we believe in Jesus, these verses should give us great confidence. If we believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life. But before we start to swell with pride, thinking how jolly clever we are to believe in Jesus, we must look at the second way that those who are raised are described. Track it with me. We'll jump through a few verses. Verse 37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. In the middle of verse 39, it says that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. Verse 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Verse 65 says, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. In these verses, we see that God, the Father, who acts. He acts to draw people to himself. And this links back to what we were looking at last weekend, doesn't it? When we were looking at revival, we saw that revival, people turning to God in faith, is in fact an act of God. Revival is God's work. People believe in Jesus when God acts in their lives. So if you're a Christian here this morning, it is because God acted in your life. And if you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, can I say something? God is acting in your life right now. Why do you think you're here this morning? It's no mistake. God has drawn you here this morning to hear what's going to be said. The Father is in charge of salvation, in charge of those who will believe in Jesus. Now, I recognize some people find this idea a bit unsettling, a bit disconcerting, because it doesn't rely on us and what we do, but on what God does. But ultimately, we need to trust in the goodness of God. We sang about that in the last song. We must trust in God's immeasurable wisdom. And the Father being in charge of salvation is good news because God is perfect. God doesn't mess up. God doesn't make mistakes. So if it's God who's choosing, we know he's going to get it right. Every single person who's meant to be in heaven will be in heaven. And this should do a few things. It should keep us humble as we recognize what God has done. It should free us up in our evangelism as we go about telling people the good news of Jesus, because our job is to get the message out there, to faithfully tell people what Jesus has done. Whether they believe or not, that is in God's hands. And that should free us up to be bold and courageous in our evangelism, trusting that God will save those whom he has chosen. Now, I recognize some of us might still be sitting here thinking, I don't know about this. Can I suggest to you this afternoon, not now, this afternoon, look up Romans chapter 9, because that's where I go whenever I'm looking at this topic, because Romans chapter 9 will help you in understanding what we've just looked at. Jesus came to raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen to believe in him. You see, I wonder if you've ever driven or walked past a sign that's directing people to an event. And maybe it's a sports event, and you go, not for me. Or maybe it's a music event, and you go, well, that is for me. You see, if you're not headed to the event, you just look at the sign, you go, I don't care what it says. It's not relevant to me. But to those to whom the sign means something, you follow the instructions. You pay close attention to what it says. See, those who are chosen by God, they recognize who Jesus is. They see the miracles and they realize that they're not just a magic show, but that they are pointing forward to something greater. So the question is, are we paying close attention to Jesus today? Jesus came to raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen to believe in him. But there's a question. How does Jesus bring eternal life? And with that, we must return to the first idea. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus brings eternal life by dying on the cross. Wait a minute, I hear you say that's a bit of a jump. But bear with me. Let's pick it up again at verse 49, which says this. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus starts off by talking about the Israelites eating manna in the desert, bread that God provided to his people to sustain them physically. It kept them alive day to day, but they're all dead now. And it is into that that Jesus said that he has a bread to offer that is completely different. Those who eat it will receive eternal life. They will never die. And more than that, he says that the bread he offers is, in fact, himself. And some might consider this a slightly darker twist. He says that the bread he will offer is his flesh. It would appear that Jesus is promoting some kind of mystical cannibalism. And if you think I've lost my marbles, and I'm the only one thinking that, I'm not because it was mentioned in the staff meeting, but also more importantly, if you look at verse 52, it says this, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, we've seen a few times already in John's gospel, haven't we, that when Jesus speaks about things that are spiritual, they just see the physical. And these people are still looking to have their basic physical human needs met. They still just want food. They're not seeing that Jesus is talking about something much deeper, something far more significant than mere bread. But as Jesus continues, he doesn't immediately address their concern or make it more straightforward. Because look what he says in verse 53 to 55. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Now, at this point, we might go, well, that didn't clear it up at all. We're still scratching our heads. What does it mean to eat Jesus' flesh, to drink his blood? Because we must see that it is fundamentally important. Eternal life is at stake. So we must understand what it is if we are going to have eternal life, the very life that Jesus offers. So what does it mean? We'll look down at verse 56. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Those who feed on Jesus live in him and he in them. We are united to Christ. But that's not something that's going to happen at a physical level, but at a spiritual level. Think about it like this. What do you do with physical bread? You know the kind you buy at the shop or get from the bakery, or maybe if you're really fancy, you make in a bread maker. Well, those might be a bit outdated now. There was a trend one time, you'd all make your own bread. You take the bread, you put it in your mouth, you eat it, it goes into your stomach, and it gives you physical life. I wonder if you've ever been feeling really hungry and really quite tired, and then you've had some food, you've had a good meal, and a short while later, you feel re-energized, raring to go. Food gives us energy. Physical food gives physical life. But what Jesus offers extends beyond the physical. It is eternal life. To feed on Jesus is not to take him into our stomachs, but to take him into our hearts. To take him into the depths of our souls. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by believing in him. See, look at what verse 40 says. For this is the will of my Father, that whoever looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. See, eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking his blood is the same as looking at the Son and believing. And that makes sense because if you look at verse 40 and verse 54, believing and eating, the outcome is exactly the same. Look at 54 again. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Believing in Jesus, that is the source of eternal sustenance. That is the source of eternal life. It unites us to him and it guarantees our future. Our future with Christ is as secure, get this, it's as secure as the relationship between the Father and the Son. It is an unbreakable relationship. Look down at verse 57, because this really is quite extraordinary. Verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Isn't that staggering? A claim that every Christian should gain great confidence from. So if you're a believer here this morning, I hope that you're hearing what Jesus is saying in this verse. In the same way that the life of the eternal Son is tied up to the life of the eternal Father, our lives are tied up with His. Our future is secure. The life Jesus gives us through His flesh and blood is completely out of this world. And He did it by dying on the cross. Jesus brings eternal life by dying on the cross. You see, all this talk of flesh and blood is pointing forward to Jesus' death on the cross, where His body was broken and His blood was shed. You see, to have eternal life, we must believe that Jesus came down from heaven to die on the cross for you and for me. He gave His life to save our lives. Look again at what verse 51 says. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, you'll notice that later on this morning, we'll be sharing together in the Lord's Supper. That's no mistake or coincidence. Because we'll read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Lord, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus died for us. But He rose again and He has ascended into heaven, where He is right now. But we know that He will also return, and that when He returns, that will be the last day that is spoken of in John 6. And on that last day, He will raise up to eternal life all those whom the Father has chosen to believe in Him. And we will live forever. Verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Do you want to live forever? Then believe in Jesus. Feed on His body and blood in your heart. Take Jesus into the very depths of your soul. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life, come down from heaven to raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen to believe in Him. But what are we going to do about it? Jesus, what will you do with Him? Verse 59 tells us that Jesus was, when He delivered this teaching, He was on home soil, as it were. Verse 59 says, Jesus said these things in the synagogue as He taught at Capernaum. The synagogue is the place where Jesus should have been, have home ground advantage. He was the Messiah, after all, the promised one of God. But how was His message received? Well, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" They don't like what they hear. Maybe they don't really understand it. But the right response, if they don't understand it, is to engage. We saw that with Nicodemus. He thought there was something to Jesus, but he wasn't quite sure what. So he continued the conversation. But these guys didn't. They grumble. I wonder, what is your response to what you've heard this morning? Do we accept Jesus for who He is and believe in Him? Or are we inclined to grumble? How do we handle the bits of the Bible that we find hard to accept? Do we grumble? Or do we engage, looking to see what is the truth? Jesus, knowing that this grumbling is going on, doesn't back down, but He says something extraordinary in verse 61. But Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? What then if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where He was before?" Jesus now makes the claim that not only did He come down from heaven, but that He will return. And when Jesus ascends into heaven, it will vindicate His claim that He came down from heaven. And it will be the proof that Jesus is from where He said He was from. And we actually see that vindication in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. But there's more, because in verse 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." You see, here Jesus returns to the idea that spiritual life, that eternal life, comes from God. It is God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that breathes life into the hearts of those who will believe. And now, at the risk of repeating myself, if you're a believer here this morning, it is because God, through His Spirit, has worked in your heart. He has given you life. And this life is for those who believe. But some will not. Verse 64 says, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray Him." You see, Jesus knew that some people who were following Him did not believe. We got a feel for that at the beginning of the passage, or even before the passage started, where we saw the motives of some of those who are following Jesus. looking to have their physical needs met. And with that, Jesus again reiterated that belief itself comes from the Father. Verse 65 says, and he said this, and he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to the Father unless it is granted him by the Father. No one can come to me unless it's granted him by the Father. Which actually at some point sounds like an easy out for those who don't believe, doesn't it? It's not my fault. I wasn't chosen. And indeed, in the first instance, it would appear that many of his followers took this option. Verse 66 says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Maybe they leave deflated because they realize Jesus isn't going to be this miraculous provider that will give them what they want. That's what some of them had been looking for. I don't know, maybe there's some people here this morning who are looking to God for what he can give you, looking for God to give you what you think you need. What will you do if he doesn't? Will you turn away and walk away from God? That seems to be what these early followers did. And we might want to say, well, they were obviously just not chosen. It's really not their fault. But you see, we can't overlook the next verse, where Jesus presents his 12 disciples with a choice they had to make. Verse 67 says this, so Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Jesus is presenting his disciples with a real choice. And how do they respond? Well, Peter, often the one to speak first, he says this, verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One from God. In some ways, Peter is saying, what choice do we have, given what we know? We know who you are. So whatever following you must mean, it is worth it because you are the Holy One of God. You have the words of eternal life. But they must still make a choice, or there'd be no point in Jesus answering the question. Now, let me use something of a frivolous illustration. Imagine that you're offering a child an ice cream. When they know what is on offer, they will always say yes. So it is with Jesus. When we get what is on offer, when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see the truth of who Jesus is, we will always, like Peter, say, where else can we go? Of course, we will follow you. But on the other hand, if our eyes are dim, if we don't see him for who he is, we'll reject him, like Judas did. You see, Judas thought that he could use Jesus to get what he wanted in the world. And what Judas wanted most of all was money. And he took it wherever he could, but it didn't deliver. He did not believe in Jesus. Let's read these final verses before drawing it all together. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. For he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So at this point, it's worth just stating how choice works when it comes to believing in Jesus. Does the Father choose those who will believe in him? Yes, absolutely. We've seen that already. Do those who believe in Jesus choose to believe in him? Yes, absolutely. We've seen that. Peter just said it. Does the Holy Spirit work in the lives of those who will believe, enabling them, compelling them to believe? Yes. All of those things are simultaneously true, which gets to the crux for you and me. Are you believing in Jesus this morning? If you are, let's praise God for the great confidence that we can have from what we've heard this morning. The life that we have in Jesus is as secure as the life that Jesus has with the Father. Our future is secure. And isn't that great news? You only have to look at the news to realize there's so much insecurity, instability, so many things that are out of our control in this world from day to day. But there is one thing that is not out of control at all. There's one thing that's absolutely guaranteed, and that is our future with Jesus. Praise God. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't yet believe. Take that step. Believe in Jesus today. You see, one thing you don't find in the Bible is anywhere where it tells us to try and work out who is chosen and who is not. We're not supposed to try and figure out if we're chosen or not. We are called to simply believe, to believe in Jesus. And the benefits exceed anything you can imagine. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life come down from heaven. to raise to eternal life those who the Father has chosen to believe in him. So you see, there's only one basic need for life, eternal life. It's not food, water, air, or shelter, but Jesus, the bread of life. Believe in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided everything that we need for eternal life in Jesus Christ, your Son, the bread of life, come down from heaven to raise up to eternal life those who you've chosen to believe in him. Father, we pray that you would help us where we have doubts, help us where we are unsure, to hold confidently to our faith, to our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, if we've not yet put our faith in you, we pray that this morning we would believe in Jesus, your Son, and receive eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.